welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's that strange rattling sound of free speech. Because you might hear a strange rattling sound. I know what it is. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's just a plastic cover. It's kind of vibrating. Covers the spark plugs. But it's an old car. And the bolts, a couple of the bolts have broken off. And when bolts break off, what are you going to do? Drill out the part that's remaining in there? That's just too much work, especially in the cold weather. So the plastic on top of the spark plugs, a little plastic cover that keeps grime off of them or whatever, it rattles. Big deal. Okay, it doesn't hurt anything. And that's what RBN is. It's like that rattling noise. You hear it. But it is a big deal. So actually, it's totally not like it. Anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. Okay, I was listening to Alexander Mercurius, because I'll listen to him, you know that. And that's how I get a lot of my updates on what's going on in Ukraine and whatnot, and other things. And then it ended, which is fine. And then, I don't know what happens. Like, sometimes I don't do anything, and the next thing I know, a few minutes later, some other random podcast or live stream starts. And I'm listening to... Oh, by the way, this is a stick shift, so sometimes I have to reach down and shift, and that's... You might hear that. I noticed when I was playing the last Boomer Vision. This is Boomer Vision, by the way. When I was playing back the last Boomer Vision, I heard my voice drop off every time I was shifting. But next time I should say that RBN's the stick shift of free speech. Because you gotta know how to use the clutch. Anyway, so something started, and it was these... These people who were talking about, it was a media guy, I can't remember the names, it was a media guy, government guy, and former House member of the House of Representatives or something, and they're talking about Ukraine. And you know, the thing is, these people got it completely wrong, and you see it from other countries, too. Like, in other countries, their media got it completely wrong. The idea... And, like, I was talking to this guy who I know for a long time. He's a retired colonel, works in the Pentagon as an a consultant. So he's in the Pentagon every day as a consultant, retired colonel. And he actually thought that Ukraine was going to win. That, you know, there's the Russian army, just like, they're no good. They don't have discipline, whatever. They're just no good. And these people, and it's not just in America. It's all over the place. It's in Europe. It's in Asia, the Japanese. So the Japanese, I mean, their foreign ministry just went along with this. Their political class went along with this. Their media just went right along with this. As if Ukraine ever had a chance of winning. Nobody who knows anything and is serious and is honest. If you knew things, if you had any kind of background, and you're serious and you're honest, there's no way you could think that Ukraine was going to beat Russia in a war. Okay, so that was never it. Now, maybe you might think that if NATO is going to invade, like you're going to mobilize the military of NATO and have World War III. And, you know, it's pretty clear from the beginning that if that were to happen, if NATO was to, like, just go full World War III on Russia, that Russia was just going to launch nuclear weapons at NATO countries, including the United States. And, you know, the Brandon people, they really weren't willing to risk this. So nobody really thought that Russia was going to be defeated militarily. Like I've said 6 million times, it was the Jew crew in the State Department wanted to overthrow Vladimir Putin because he betrayed the Jewish oligarchs in Russia. I think that's the reason. Other people have offered other reasons for why the Jew crew wanted to overthrow him, but I think this is the reason that he betrayed the Jewish oligarchs who had put him in power in the first place, and then he betrayed them, and that's something you absolutely cannot tolerate. And so they wanted to overthrow him, and Ukraine was never anything more than a sacrifice, a sacrificial lamb. So you sacrifice Ukraine, I don't know if they were, like, sacrificed. I don't even know if they were planning on this level of destruction. But the idea is you lure or you entrap or you force or you corner Putin into an invasion of Ukraine. Use the invasion as a pretext for unprecedented economic sanctions, and then the economic sanctions would cause unrest within Russia, leading to the overthrow of Vladimir Putin. And, you know, I think actually, had that been attempted in 2015, 2016, maybe even 2014, it might have worked. And I think that's when I think the plan goes back that far. Obama never gave the green light to that. Hillary probably would have. I don't know for sure, but there was talk that Hillary was going to have Victoria Nuland as her girl power Secretary of State. She was going to have a girl power cabinet with, I think, what was some, what's the name? Something Flournoy or something as her Secretary of Defense, some woman, and I think she was going to have a woman as Attorney General, and Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. I think it was going to be a girl power cabinet, but it didn't happen. And so then you had this didn't have Trump, to his credit. There's a lot you can say to his shame, but to his credit, he fired Victoria Nuland on day one. There's a lot of people he didn't fire on day one who he should have, but he did fire Victoria Nuland on his inauguration day. And so by the time Victoria Nuland came back, got back in power, and was able to implement this plan, it was too late, because Putin had spent years sanction-proofing his economy and also shoring up his relationship with other countries, most importantly China. So it didn't work, and it was pretty clear once the Chinese didn't go along with the sanctions, then most of the rest of Asia didn't go along. You know, you had the American satellites of Japan and South Korea and Taiwan, I guess, and the Philippines went along with the sanctions, but Indonesia didn't, India didn't, Pakistan didn't, Bangladesh didn't, obviously Iran didn't. A lot of big, important countries with a lot of industrial production and resources and whatnot, they did not go along with the sanctions, and so they failed. And this, like I say, this was an economic war. The sanctions against Russia were unprecedented, but they weren't enough to destroy the Russian economy. And actually, they wound up harming the European economy more than the Russian economy. So they backfired. And there is really no viable plan B, and so they're just kind of stuck in this mode, and Russia's winning the war. And anybody, but you still had people who were, I mean, even today, you've still got some people who are saying, oh yeah, Ukraine can win this, but for the most part, not. And for the most part, now everything's shifting to our best friend forever, Israel. But the thing is, the people who do these horrible policies, foreign policy, of course, but also a lot of domestic policies, you know, COVID and whatnot, and immigration, they never get held accountable. And so you've got next week is the Iowa caucuses, I believe. I mean, I'm not paying super, super close attention. There have been election cycles where I just really, really looked forward to the Iowa caucus and then New Hampshire primary, and I really looked forward to it just because the racehorse aspect of it was fun, but not so much this time. The main thing is they're trying, when I say they, I mean the donors, the media, the Jews are trying to somehow meme Nikki Haley into Trump's competitor, which perhaps maybe, like, it was being rumored that he would offer her the VP slot, which if he does is totally retarded, because she is assassination bait. She's not jail bait. She's assassination bait. They would, I guarantee, if Nikki Haley were his vice president, Trump would be assassinated. Guarantee 100%. Okay, I took a brief break. I ran into a little nightclub and watched Engelbert Poindexter sing some songs. You never know. You never know when he's coming to a place near you. And it occurred to me that I spent this first 12 minutes of this show saying the same stuff I've said, like, probably 20 times, 40 times, talking about Ukraine. You know, last night when I was recording with Jeremy for the Patrick and Jeremy show, in the middle, while I'm recording, I get this text message from Benjamin Fulford. And he said, the revolution has begun. Right, the revolution has begun. And, of course, he's been saying the same thing over and over. I mean, I've heard that from him. And I've been saying the same thing over and over. Now, even, they say, a stopped clock is right twice a day. And maybe it's our time. It's our time to be right. I hope so. But sometimes it seems like just being on a merry-go-round. And a lot of stuff is going on. You know, I spent the whole day in the closet. And, you know, I had this friend call me up. And I said, look, I'm in the closet and I'm not coming out. Oh, why am I in the closet? Well, so I have an old house, and it's got a lot of knob and tube wiring, and I'm trying to replace the wiring, right? And so the wiring is in the walls, and it's in the ceiling, and I recently painted the closet, and I've got all the stuff out of the closet. Got all my stuff out of the closet, and it's like, if I'm ever going to gain access to the remaining knob and tube wiring that I haven't replaced yet, it's now. So I'm in the closet, and I'm not coming out. I don't care what they say. Now, last night when Jeremy and I were talking, we were talking about the whole Lloyd Austin thing, and it occurred to me after we were done with the show, it occurred to me that I missed a good chance at a joke. Lloyd Austin, because Jim Fetzer thinks that he's dead, but they're going to bring back some character, maybe somebody that they'll get from Africa and put him in a rubber mask. And I think Lloyd Austin, he's Planet of the Apes. I thought he was already in a rubber mask. You mean that's his real face? So I missed that opportunity, and I did splice it in. This is something that we can do with a recorded program sometimes, is you can do a mulligan. You know, you mess something up and you can go back in and edit it in. I thought that was fun. But regarding Lloyd Austin, seriously, Alexander Mercurius, who I rely on for information, but I don't necessarily rely on as much for hot takes. But he did. I thought he had a pretty good take on the Lloyd Austin thing. Like I was saying to Jeremy, that, well, if Lloyd Austin died, they would be scrambling. If he had gone on a unannounced mission to Kiev, and he often goes to I don't know about often. He has gone on unannounced missions to Kiev, but when he arrives, they're announced. When he arrives, you know, he meets with officials in front of cameras and all. But if he had gone on an unannounced mission to Kiev and wound up getting killed, maybe they would be scrambling. But the thing is, I assume, maybe he's already appeared before cameras today. I assume he's probably not dead. He's probably actually was in the hospital. And if it's true that he went into the hospital, and that's probably the most likely thing. If it's true, he went into the hospital in order to get prostate surgery or whatever. This was Alexander Mercurius' take, and it's not a bad one. If you've got a lot of factional infighting going on in a bureaucratic situation, if you've, you know, the knives are out, right? You don't want to appear weak, right? I thought it was a pretty good take. Who knows? We'll see. You don't want to appear weak. And so he didn't let the people on the other side of the feud know that he was going into the hospital. He didn't want to appear weak. Does that sound reasonable? I don't know. Maybe not. He wasn't expecting the complications. He thought he could slip in and out. He wouldn't have to tell anybody he's got cancer. He could have this procedure done without the other side finding out he's got cancer, that he's not in the best of health. But then complications arose. Okay. So what does that tell us? Well, that tells us that who is on the other side of the divide from him, right? Well, among other people, the president. He didn't even tell the president. He didn't tell his number two. What's her name? Something Hicks, some girl, the Deputy Secretary of Defense. So that might be evidence that there's a...
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
He didn't tell his number two. What's her name? Something Hicks, some girl, the Deputy Secretary of Defense. So that might be evidence that there's a lot of chaos in the administration, that there's a lot of infighting. Now, it's not to say that there are any good guys to be juxtaposed against the bad guys. It's not to say that there are any doves along with the hawks, but there may be people who are just less insane than the others. And when I say insane, really, I mean the most dangerous person in the administration is Victoria Nuland. And so you got people like her who are all gung-ho for war with Ukraine. What's her position in Israel? I don't know, but she's still gung-ho for war with Ukraine. So I guess there are people who are gung-ho for two wars, and then there's others who want to abandon Ukraine and want to do war in the Middle East. But even then, you probably have people who are more pro-Netanyahu and others who want to get him to exercise a little bit of restraint. So, presumably, Biden is pretty gung-ho on Ukraine, presumably. I mean, he went over there early on and, was saying, for God's sake, he let the cat out of the bag. He said, for God's sake, we can't let this man continue in power, referring to Vladimir Putin. While he doesn't get along personally with Netanyahu, or at least he doesn't anymore, maybe he's exercising a little bit of restraint in Ukraine, in in Israel, but you know, he personally went over to Jerusalem shortly after October 7th and pledged his support. But at any rate, Alexander Mercurius's take was, this is probably an indication of a high level of infighting and feuding and mistrust within the administration. Okay, I think that's pretty reasonable. We'll see. I mean, if you get somebody in a rubber mask, Lloyd Austin wasn't in a rubber mask already? I'm not even gonna go there, but you know, if he was dead sooner, that's kind of hard to hide in the long run. Although, as Maynard Keynes said, well, in the long run, we're all dead. Okay, this is Boomer Vision. This is just a hodgepodge of stuff. So I mentioned Benjamin Fulford earlier, and I had like a bit of an exchange with him, a text exchange. And he was, you know, he doesn't talk about Jews the same way I do. He says, well, the people you call Jews are what I call the Sabbatarian Mafia, or the, what else did he say? I think something about blood-drinking demons. Or no, blood-drinking Satanists. The people you... and like he says this thing in order to avoid being called an anti-Semite. The people you call Jews, I call blood-drinking Satanists. I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at him. Benjamin's actually extremely intelligent. He is extremely talented with languages. He speaks a bunch of languages and picks them up very easily, and has a way with words, and is personally very charming, and has a very deep knowledge of history and philosophy and stuff like that. So I'm not making fun of him. But he also has a really good sense of humor, and he wrote a joke book. Like 30 years ago, he wrote a joke book, more than 30 years ago. Okay, but what am I saying? So people, and he encouraged me to read Henry McCow. Well, I used to read Henry McCow 15 years ago. I know what Henry McCow says. People, a lot of people who are examining the problems that I assert are the responsibility largely of Jewish power. But they don't want to say it's Jewish power because they don't want to get kicked off their various platforms, or they don't want to be called anti-Semites. So they have, you know, like in the case of Alexander Mercurius, he talks about neocons. Other people talk about, you know, the somebody like, oh, what's the guy who used to work for the New York Times? Oh, God, that guy, he's a progressive. His name will come to me later, but he'll talk about the military-industrial complex. You know, you have all these code words. Khazarian Mafia. It wasn't the Sabbatean Mafia. Benjamin talks about the Khazarian Mafia.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no strength.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
God, that guy, he's a progressive. His name will come to me later, but he'll talk about the military-industrial complex. You know, you have all these code words. And Khazarian Mafia. It wasn't the Sabbatean Mafia. Benjamin talks about the Khazarian Mafia. Because, it's not... And people say, it's not all Jews. They might say, oh, it's just a very small segment of Jews. And my understanding of Jewish power, and I think I lay it out okay in my forthcoming book, my forever forthcoming book, which, by the way, David Duke likes it, so it must be okay. But my understanding, my conception is that Jewish power is extremely decentralized, that the Jewish group behavior is not based on evil, it's based on paranoia, that you have a large number of people who have a higher tendency towards ethnocentrism and paranoia than most groups. Okay, I'm just talking about tendencies, but they have a higher tendency towards paranoia. They have a higher tendency towards ethnocentrism. Now, in some cases, it's extreme. When you look at those videos, please look at the videos coming out from the Chabad-Lubavitch Center in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and you see those people. That is ethnocentrism right there, where they're all dressing the same way. They're in their uniforms. They have Jew uniforms. Just look at them, and they act as a group, and they're clapping together, and they're cheering together, and they're very, very ethnocentric. Now that is on the extreme side, but run-of-the-mill Jews still have a much higher tendency towards ethnocentrism, rather than say much, I'll say a statistically significant high statistically significantly higher tendency towards ethnocentrism, and I'd say paranoia too. And I would say that the Jewish culture, both the religion and the culture, are rather paranoid. When you look at the Old Testament, and I know there's a lot of people who just say, well, the Old Testament's a word of God or whatever, and okay, whatever, but you look at the Old Testament, and, you know, it is, it describes a history, which from the point of view of the ancient Hebrews, or whatever you want to call them, is everybody trying to get them. I think it's very paranoid. And you look at the Holocaust narrative, which is extremely paranoid. You know, it's one thing if you want to say, so Raoul Hildeberg, who, according to Norman Finkelstein, is the preeminent scholar on the Holocaust. I wouldn't know who's the preeminent scholar on the Holocaust. I know Raoul Hildeberg is, you know, he's got a high profile. But he says 5.1 million Jews died, according to his methodology, which was based on looking at census data from 1930 and then comparing it to the late 40s, from the early 30s and then comparing it to the late 40s and taking into consideration the natural trends of births and deaths and life expectancy, and doing the math and figuring that there was 5.1 million Jews missing. Now, that methodology doesn't account for people like Madeleine Albright, who before the war was a little Jewish girl, and after the war was pretending not to be Jewish at all. So according to Raoul Hildeberg's methodology, presumably she died in the Holocaust. How many were there like that? I don't know. Maybe if there's only tens of thousands, that's not that significant. If it's millions, then that makes a big difference. Were there millions who were lost that way? So I don't know exactly how many died. But let's just say, even if you were to say 5.1 million or 5.9 million, rounded up to 6 million, died during the years between 1933 and 1945, over what would have been the expected rate of death. Even if it's that many, still, you've got the idea that the whole thing was planned, that it was unprecedented in human history, that it was a massive departure, and that it was for no reason other than irrational Jew hate. That's paranoid, okay? Because even if you want to say it was 6 million, well, why not have some context there? Why not put it in the context of Jews having played hardball, having been belligerents, even if they didn't have a state of their own in World War I or World War II? They kind of had a state of their own in between the wars, from October 1917, they kind of had a state of their own when they took over the Soviet Union. Effectively, it was a Jewish takeover. And they were playing hardball in Hungary. They were playing hardball in Poland and in Germany. They were belligerents in the conflicts of the first half of the 20th century. And, you know, they had a, did they have more than their share of deaths? Maybe they did. It depends how many they had, but, you know, maybe they did. I know that the Poles died in big numbers relative to their population. Russians died in the most absolute numbers. Even if Jews died in the biggest absolute, in the biggest relative numbers, they certainly didn't die in the biggest absolute numbers. So Russians, there was at least, even if you said 6 million, over the two world wars, there was just the two world wars and not counting what happened in between. I think Russia lost more or less 20 million or so in each of the two world wars. I think trying to manipulate events to somehow make what happened to the Jews unique and set apart from what happened to Poles or Russians or Germans or Japanese or Chinese or anybody else. I think that's paranoid, and I think it's ethnocentric. So why am I even saying this? My conception is that this isn't about evil. I think Victoria Nuland is the most dangerous person of our era, of the past decade. I think she's the most dangerous person on Earth, and I've said it many times. I don't think she's personally evil. I think, honestly, so I like Andrew Anglin. Everybody knows I like Andrew Anglin. And Andrew Anglin says some things that rub people the wrong way. Sometimes he says things that seem callous, but there's also an honesty to him. So occasionally he makes jokes about people who have died. Famously, he made a joke about Heather Heyer, who is the girl who died apparently of a heart attack. Her mother said it was a heart attack. Her mother told TV News it was a heart attack. After having been hit by the car driven by, what was the guy's name? The guy who drove the Dodge Challenger in Charlottesville. I don't even remember his name anymore. But if you look at and I spent a lot of time looking at the Charlottesville video, and I was on the scene there. I was on the scene. I didn't know what had happened until hours later. But I was on the scene about half an hour after it happened, and there was a lot of chaos, but I didn't know what had happened. But I was right there at that intersection. But at any rate, I'm saying I was there not so much to make me authoritative, but to explain why I became almost obsessed with it. And over the next several months, and maybe 12 months, I looked at it. I looked at the footage, whatever footage was available from drones and from cell phones. I looked at it over and over and over. And I say with personal confidence. Some people might contradict me. I think Mike Enoch contradicted me on Mark Collett's show, but I'm pretty confident that Heather Heyer was only struck in the thigh, that she wasn't struck in the torso or in any of the organs, that she was only struck in the thigh, and it was when the car was not going particularly fast. The car had almost completely stopped because she was struck in the thigh. She had cleared the car. The car was never going more than, I don't think it was ever going more than the 25 mile per hour speed limit. That can be determined by, because there was drone footage, and you can do like frame by frame and figure out how many feet per frame that the car is moving and deduce the speed that way. I really don't think it was ever going more than the speed limit. And by the time it had hit Heather Heyer, he had the brakes on. And so it struck her in the thigh, and then she wound up, when the car came to rest, when it came to equilibrium momentarily, she was lying right by the passenger side door. So the car only moved about 3 feet after it hit her. So it couldn't have been going all that fast. It could have been going, enough to maybe fracture a thigh bone. But, all right, so that was just a lot there. Probably a lot that was unnecessary. But at any rate, so she died presumably of a heart attack. And she was, according to the autopsy, 330 pounds and 4'11". Okay, so she was extremely obese. She had taken out a life insurance policy. Very odd thing for a 31-year-old woman who's not married and has no kids to take out a life insurance policy. In fact, it's rather odd for an insurance company to issue a life insurance policy unless it was one of those, what do you call it, no questions asked policies, because somebody who's that obese would probably have a hard time getting a life insurance policy. At any rate, I guess it's guaranteed issue, that's what you call it. But he made a joke about her. And, you know, he's made jokes about other people, like on the other side of the world, who have died, or people who died. And he says, he has said, frankly, that if somebody you've never met and never heard of dies, that it's, there's something like insincere or not real about mourning for people that you've never met and never heard of. To find out somebody that you've never met, never heard of died, and then you feel sad about it, there's something just not real about it. I can't remember exactly what his words were. And I'm a boomer, and you know, we were taught growing up that we had to eat our vegetables because there were starving kids in Africa. Starving kids we'd never met, or actually, even in China, I guess, no, was it China? It might have been in China at first, because there were starving kids in China, like in the early 60s, but then it morphed into Africa. So, you know, we were raised to have empathy for people on the other side of the world we never met. Is that natural? Is it real? Is it healthy? I don't know. I'll throw that aside. But here's the thing. If you're Victoria Nuland, all right, these people who are being fed into the meat grinder in Ukraine are people you've never met. And maybe you think, well, these people have to die for some sort of greater good. I think it's horrible. I think it's wrong. I don't think like that. But what I'm saying is, it's not the same thing as, like, taking a human or an animal and pulling off their like fingers and causing them immense pain for your personal viewing satisfaction. You know what I mean? Like that would be evil, right? But just playing God with people's lives, the lives of people that you've never met. I don't approve of that, but it's not the same thing as torturing people and getting off on watching them be tortured. And so my conception of Jewish power is based on paranoia that Jews in general feel like they feel threatened, that they feel vulnerable, that they feel if they don't have some degree of control, if they don't have a requisite amount of control over their environment, then they are at risk at some time, for no reason in particular, of being genocided or pogromed. Pogromed, right? I think this is this. And it doesn't have to be all Jews believing this. I think there's a critical mass of Jews who think like this. And I don't think it's evil. I think it's paranoid. And I don't think it's super paranoid. I don't think it's like schizophrenic paranoid. But I do think it's kind of like more paranoid than the average goyim. I do. So that's my conception. Why am I even talking about this? I need to go into this store and buy some masking tape so I can go back into the closet and I can label these wires, which circuit they're on. That's what I need to do. Okay, I'm going to pause and I'll be back. Hey, gang, I got to get this over to RBN, so just enjoy the rest. I'm going to try to throw in some stuff, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'm gonna get Albright folks attack me, it makes me sad. I am a cuck, I am a libtard. Don't talk of Trump.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.